Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today, and if you just tuned in, we're glad to have you too. My website is www.jbsba.com, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget, this week is when you're going to get the long list of just the one-liner list of the New Year resolutions that I recommend for my and your small business. And over the next several weeks, I'm going to be publishing an article each week on each one of those seven categories with more details about how to fulfill those resolutions. And I'll be talking about those. Not only will I be publishing them in my newsletter, I'll be talking about them on the show every week. So if you can subscribe today, you'll get all those, and I encourage you. I have people who let me know that they use them all year long, and I really am glad about that. To know that it is helping people. Somebody else who helps people is our guest and our new friend this half hour. Dr. William Bygrave is a Frederick C. Hamilton Professor for Free Enterprise and visiting professor at the London School of Business. He's the former director of the Arthur M. Banks Center for Entrepreneurial Studies at Babson College. You know who Babson College is. That's a name that will ring a little bit for you because you've met Mark Rice and Patty Green with Babson. You've heard me talk about how Babson College's role in the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor. Folks, you've heard me talking about this, how the United States is the leader in entrepreneurship, and we've talked about all the other countries and how entrepreneurship has been studied by the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor over the last five or so years. Well, one of the founders of that is our guest this half hour, Dr. William Bygrave. Dr. Bygrave, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. And he says we can call him Bill. Bill, thank you for being here. And let me say this. Thank you for the research that you have done on global entrepreneurship. I think it is I believe it is the most important work in studying the phenomenon that is entrepreneurship that's ever been done.
Well, thank you very much. That's nice to know our research is appreciated by practitioners.
Well, and my audience knows. See, I've been doing the show since '97, and I found out about your gem, Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, in '99, which I believe was the first year.
That was the very first year. You were one of the first adopters.
I was writing my audience. You can go back and find the articles that I wrote about this, where I covered that. I've been talking about it on this show. I've got the archives to prove it, and it's very, very important. And I'd like for you to take a moment, if you don't mind. I don't want to miss this opportunity. Take a moment and tell us what you were thinking when you started this research.
Well, it came about, I was visiting the London Business School. I'm a visiting professor, and my counterpart there, Michael Hay, had just received the Global Competitive Report, which is put out every year by the folks in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
But that focuses on big business.
Right.
It's all very well, but he said we need something like this for entrepreneurs and smaller business, you know, because that report essentially it was meant for the big companies, you know, the huge companies around the world, and how that affected the competitiveness of nations. So that's how we that was how the concept came about. We were somewhat naive to think we could come up with one universal index that would capture everything, you know, number of entrepreneurs, the funding, the kind
of business. That's what was so entrepreneurial, what was so beautiful about it. See, that's what's so precious about entrepreneurs. We do things that we don't even know we're not supposed to be able to do.
Well, that's right, Jim, and that's one of the nice things about being an entrepreneurship professor. You know, it actually is a great entrepreneurial story because Michael Hay and I, we completely bootstrapped the entire thing out of other budgets that we had for the first year. And then we went out and did some fundraising. Today, there have been 44 different nations participated in GEM and continue to participate. They represent two-thirds of the global population and more than 90% of the gross domestic product. And it's about a $4 million a year project now. Each national team raises money. You know, Babson and London Business School raise money for the global mm-hmm. effort.
Kauffman Center,
you know, from zero to $4 million a year project with 150 researchers.
The Kauffman Center contributed, Center for Entrepreneurial Excellence, they contributed to it?
They did in the early days. They certainly got us, their philosophy is put money in, get things going.
That's where I found you the first time.
Yeah, and so they were very, very instrumental in getting the funding. But, you know, today it's their funding was about $250,000 a year, and today it's about a $4 million a year project. You can see how their seed money
right.
And our bootstraps
was so
seed
important.
Money almost, what it's done. And the nice thing is that much of the money is raised in the private sector.
Right.
Is it not your
classic? Dr. Bygrave, stand by a little bit. We've got to take a quick break, and we've got to sell some things. When we come back, I'm going to get Dr. Bygrave to talk to us about a little bit more about the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor. I want you to know a little more about that because this is very important. And then we're going to talk about how small businesses capitalize their growth around the world. Stay with us. 22.
I'm alone in the dark, even though.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Dr. William Bygrave. He is, as I mentioned earlier, visiting professor at the London School of Business, but he actually is at Babson College right now, aren't you, Dr. Bygrave?
In fact, I'm the Fred Hamilton professor at Babson College. So in
right.
the spring I teach, and in the fall I do my research. Part of that spent at London Business School, yeah?
Right. And folks, the thing I like about Bill is that he doesn't do reporting and research inside his own head. He gets out of the building, goes out into the marketplace, and talks to regular folks like you and me and reports back what they say. And you know, in my own small little way, Bill, I've tried to do that myself internationally, too. I've traveled outside the country a couple of times in the last couple of years. And when I go there, I try to talk to people, to small business owners when I'm there. I do talk to them. And what I have found is that fundamentally in their hearts, there's no difference from a small business owner in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, or a small business owner in Stockholm, Sweden,
yeah.
or in Rome, Italy. Fundamentally,
yeah,
they're the same.
I think you're right. The difference, of course, is the local culture, the local
right.
environment, the local rules, regulations. That makes a huge difference.
Which is what you reported on in your gym report. And what I remember, and as I remember, the first one, you measured 10 nations, as I remember, and the United States came out on top in terms of having the most fertile entrepreneurial
yeah.
soil.
You've got a good memory. Well, we've been doing it now since 99, so this is our sixth year. And that remains the same. The U.S. of the major industrial nations. Now we've added other nations like Uganda and
right.
Iceland, and this year we've added, believe it or not, Jordan and a few others.
I'm glad to hear that.
Come in. And so we see. So I got to. We have to split it up now in terms of developed,
right.
and advanced nations. So more and more, I just compare the U.S. with the G7. You know, that's the
right.
The so-called major economic.
I bet you're getting excited about what's happening in Eastern Europe, aren't you?
Well, I am. Yeah, that's right. I mean, we'd like to have more Eastern Europeans in it. We've had Russia, we've got Hungary and Poland, we've got Slovenia, Croatia, and this year I think we can get Estonia and a few
others. What about the Republic of Georgia? I've met some
yeah.
people from there. That's exciting. What's going on over
well,
there?
Well, it's entrepreneurs that are turning that around. It's amazing. You know, Karl Marx wrote the book on how to take a free enterprise into a central planning state, a communist state, as we would call it. No one's ever written a book yet in terms of how to transform an extreme socialist, if you like, a central planned state, a communist state, into a free enterprise.
So, they're writing the book over there as they go,
well,
aren't they?
That's right. They're writing as they go, and there's not much instructions in terms of how to do it. But what it shows you is, Jim, you can't keep down that desire for entrepreneurship, which comes about from that desire, I think, from individual freedom and liberty
right.
and so on.
Dr. Bygrave, in the 20th century, 98, and I started saying this. I started saying that the 20th century was the century of the major corporation, and in the 20th century, I predicted that the 21st century was going to be the century of the entrepreneur, and every day that goes by, I'm more convinced of that.
I agree with you entirely on that. I think it's really been the untold story. You know, we've had so much doom and gloom about the economy, the U.S. economy, and yet all the numbers really defy it. You know, we look at job creation, but we only measure job creation created by the largest corporations. And people don't understand. They keep saying, well, how come unemployment's going down, and yet job creation is not meeting expectations? Well, the answer is there. It's the entrepreneurs starting businesses. It's so hard to track those and keep... It's easy to track big business.
There's a limited measurement for people who give themselves a job.
That's right. And as I say, remember, when someone creates a job, they've created one job in the economy, and that's compared to what it costs an entrepreneur to create a job for themselves, compared to what it costs, let's say, an IBM or General Motors, it's much, much less expensive and much more efficient for the entrepreneur to create the job.
Don't you think that the entrepreneurial movement, do you agree with me, Dr. Bygrave, that the entrepreneurial movement, the century of the entrepreneur, is going to create more peace in the 21st century than the major corporation century did in the 20th century? My point is, the more small business owners trade with each other, the less we are going to hate somebody in another country.
Well, I think that's potentially true. I think, but it does come down to, you know, it's not the small business people. It's still very much the major business people, the major lobbying power in Washington that have the effect on the, you know, disproportionate effect on the global economy. You know, the one thing we've got to do as small business people, we've got to get more lobbying power. We have a heck of a lot more than we had 20 years ago, but we still don't have enough.
We're a herd of cats when it comes to lobbying, aren't we?
Well, we are, and that's understandable because we're so busy. We've got no money. We're not fat cats. We can't afford to drop $1 million or so, or in Washington or wherever.
But there are organizations that are doing this.
There are, and the good news is, you know, 30 years ago we were still saving sunset industries. You know, the motto in Washington was, "I save the Rust Belt."
Right.
You know, today, with all, frankly, it's mainly due to a lot of very good research. You know, started with David Birch's stuff in the 70s that showed where the jobs are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I mean, I think it's fair to say that no politician of any repute or any understanding of what's going on will do anything that hurts small business. I mean, I think the motto's suddenly gone from, rather suddenly, from let's say the Rust Belt to let's do no harm to small
business.
But
5 years ago, you couldn't get a politician to say the word small business. Now it's every other word.
Yeah, that's right.
And we need to take
advantage
of that, don't we?
We do, and that's because they understand where the jobs are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that, and they also understand that small business people are a huge voting group.
Well, and we're really cuddly and huggable, too.
Well, we are.
Bill, that's the thing about us. You know, we're so lovable, we're so soft and cuddly, and we give good hugs.
That's right. I love them all.
Dr. William Bygrave, he and I are going to be back right after these messages. You can hug me anytime you want, folks. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassigame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining us. Dr. William Bygrave is with us. He is the Arthur M. Blank Center. I'm sorry, the director of the Arthur M. Blank Center for Entrepreneurial Studies at Babson. Actually, the former director, I should say. He's now with Babson. He's also with the London School of Business, a professor at both of those locations. Dr. Bygrave, tell us about a couple of your books. I know one of them is Venture Capital at the Crossroads.
Yeah,
realizing entrepreneurship, realizing enterprise value, and a number of others, right?
Well, the Venture Capital Crossroad, written by Jeff Timmons and myself, we wrote that back in the early beginning of the 90s, so it's a bit out of date now, but I think it was very relevant.
But they can probably find those in libraries, I'm sure.
Oh, you can still get them, yeah.
Yeah, and can we go to Amazon or some of those places and find your books?
Yeah, the good news is there's not many people by the name Bygrave who write books, so it's pretty easy to find.
It's kind of like Blasting Game.
That's right, the advantage of an unusual name.
William D. Bygrave, B-Y-G-R-A-V-E.
Yeah,
is there a website that you'd like to send us to?
Yeah, the best-selling book is The Portable MBA in Entrepreneurship.
Right.
Which I wrote the first edition back in the 92-93, and it's now in the third edition. It's a good book. It was introduced a trade book by Wiley, and it got adopted by lots of undergrad and MBA programs. So it still sells. The good news is for anyone wants to buy it. It still sells at trade book prices, not textbook prices.
Mm-hmm. So, and folks, so, check that out wherever books are sold, and look him up on Amazon. Google him if you want to. And I have not seen the Portable MBA in Entrepreneurship, but I'd like to get a copy of that. So I'll do a little review of that one of these days before too long. Bill, one of the things – I sort of hijacked your visit today a little bit because I know you want to talk about capitalization, and we are going to talk about that in an upcoming visit that you're going to have with us. But okay. I sort of hijacked your direction today because I wanted the audience to hear what you've been doing on our behalf to tell the world how important what we're doing is, what small business owners are doing, and how important that is to the world. Bill, I say – that what's good for small business is good for the world, and I know you agree with me about that.
I think that's correct. I think that's become almost a national motto for almost every nation. If you look at some of the G7 nations that aren't really doing well, you know, France and Germany, for example, and Japan, although Japan's showing some recovery now, you know, there's tremendous attention in those nations on small business and why don't they have more small business. Why don't they have more entrepreneurship? And frankly, I look longingly at the United States and at, to a lesser extent, but nevertheless at Canada. But, you know, the U.S. is a benchmark because we seem to do it so well and so effortlessly compared to the rest of the world.
Well, your first report showed that 1 in 12, I don't know if it's still what the new numbers are,
but
in 1999 you reported that 1 in 12 American employees was actively looking into starting a small business.
That's right. It's numbers. At the moment, something like 11% of the U.S. adult population either have a small business that's no more than 42 months old or in the process of trying to start one. Now, it doesn't mean to say they're all going to start one, Jim, because the numbers certainly don't support that. But those are amazing numbers. It means one person in 10 has either started a small business in the last 42 months or is thinking seriously about starting one.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't just cocktail thinking.
Right.
They've at least taken one step. You know, maybe talk to a bank, talk to a potential customer, talk to a potential partner and so
started
on.
Started a business plan or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's these remarkable numbers.
Well, and the thing that that I've been talking about is small business is a demographic. See, I think people are missing I think maybe they're starting to tune into it now, but I think people have been missing the boat. People, meaning anybody who wants to reach small business owners, have been missing small business as a demographic all its own. What do you think about that?
Well, what do you mean by it? You mean
I think people behave as small business owners the way they behave as males between 35 and 45.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you look at the actual demographics, the peak age group for starting businesses is 25 to 45. It used to be more males than females, but the women are catching up, which is
right.
One of the nice, most encouraging things of the trends that we're seeing in the United States. So that's terrific. And then it peters out quite rapidly as people move into their 50s.
But I think that's going to be coming a longer. A slower curve, though, because of what's happening with retirement. People are working longer than they used to, and I think they're going to continue to do that. Dr. Bygrave, we have to wrap it up because we're coming up on the end of our visit. Will you come back again real soon? Next time, talk to us about capitalizing small businesses.
I'd be very happy to, Jim.
Dr. William Bygrave, ladies and gentlemen, he is a very important person in our lives. The research that he does is very, very important to getting the word out about what you and I are doing. Thank you, Bill. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.